We had a wonderful time at the minister's meeting yesterday.
Praise God.
I mean, it was really good.
All right.
I mean, it was, we had, I really, really enjoyed it. And a couple of times I thought a revival was about to break out. But we had, I think a lot, I just, so many good things were said and so many little nuggets that you can just take and pack away with you. But I thought this morning I could just take the topic and that we were looking at and just kind of study it out and meditate on it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word today. I pray, God, that you'll prepare our hearts, Lord, for what you have in store for us. Help us, Lord, that you'll strengthen us through your word to express these things in our lives, Lord Jesus, to give us power over the enemy. I pray, God, that you'll just be with us today. We pray in your name. Amen. So the thought that we were meditating on yesterday was about the gene seed. And so just really slowly go through some of these thoughts. Somebody yesterday made a point that, you know, really to the message warrants us really sitting alone and thinking about things. You've got to really just carve out time to think about these things and just meditate on it, or you're really not going to get anywhere. It's just really not sufficient to just come to church and for an hour you hear things and that would be enough. But you really got to, for these things to really be quickened to us, you've got to sit and think about it. And so that's what I want to do maybe for the next 20 minutes or so. And I'll try to leave some time for the musicians to come up here and kind of have a nice segue. So, but just take our time and just think about some of these thoughts. So in Romans 9:13, it says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And in Genesis 25:23, and Romans is actually quoting from Malachi, but Genesis 25 tells us that story where the Lord said unto their mom, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now you think about the nature of God, that he knew in advance. He already had the thought of what was happening, what was going to happen. And so he could already say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? That seems like an unfair statement to make, doesn't it? Before they're even born, God has already decided, I love Jacob, but not Esau. Well, why is that? And you think all the way down here, there's been people in every age where he was like, I love that person. And it's based on their response. That God could look God can look all the way down through time and see everything that's going to unfold and see your reaction. And in other words, he's looking at you. He knows you. So that's what we want to just ponder, is that God knew you. God knew Jacob. And God knows you. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about everything. And I was really just sitting pondering this morning that we try to express with our little peanut brain these things that are almost past understanding. How a God that passes our understanding, we try to articulate these things. But to think, how can we even articulate that before the foundation of the world? But before there was anything, at all that was expressed, God knew you.
Yes.
God knew how many times you would bat your eye, how many times how many times you'd pray, how many times you'd come to church, and whether or not you wanted to go to church, and he knew whether or not you'd want the word. He knew you.
Yes.
He knew you.
Right.
So he knew Jacob, and Jacob was in his thoughts. And maybe the thought that we're trying to get to is that the life that we're living right now is the thought that God had before the foundation of the world. That's what Peter was expressing on the day of Pentecost when he said, this is that. I'm identifying this right here with that God thought of before the foundation of the world, and he expressed it in Joel that I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh and so forth. And so we can, when we begin to identify ourselves, how do we identify ourselves with the thought? Is we look into the expression of the thought, the Word of God, and we identify our life with the Word of God, with all these stories, with all these other expressions. It's like looking in a mirror and you begin to identify and you begin to recognize that where I am right now matches up with God's thought. And that some of the brothers had some really, really wonderful things to say about how identification is what gives you power. It gives you, Jesus was able to, that's what gave him power over the devil, because he knew who he was. And when you begin to identify yourself back, but let's meditate on, think about the nature of God, that God is infinite. He's all-knowing. He knows. Now, this is where it almost blows our mind to think about it. He knows everything. Everything. He knows how many times the gnat is going to bat its eye. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows how many times you're going to tap your toe. And that's why he could know that Jacob was going to value the birthright over the lentil soup, that Esau would rather take lentil soup over the birthright. And you think about, that's unfathomable. Did Esau not know what the birthright was? Same thing today. Do people not know what the gospel brings? And yet he knew Jacob's reaction, and he knows your reaction. He knows whether you'll want it or not.
Right.
He's infinite. He is all-knowing. Even before the foundations of the world, God knew every action and decision of every individual. Now, you know, maybe to frame up foreknowledge, I think I used to. I would look at it as like God's looking at every possible action you could take if it was presented differently this way or that way. Then, you know, he's looking at all the different permutations. But really, I think Brother Branham framed it up as he's looking at you as an individual. And he knew that no matter where he put you, whether it was on the rack in the Middle Ages, or whether it was in a Colosseum, or a lion's den, or a fiery furnace, no matter where he put you, that you would always respond to the Word. No matter where he put you. And that's, I use the example, Brother Branham said, if you want to see how you would have responded in any other age, then look at how you respond in this age. So if he took you and transplanted you into the days of Martin Luther, or the days of John Wesley, or the Azusa Street, or wherever he put you, he knew you, and he knew if you would respond.
Yes.
Now, that's getting into we got to understand foreknowledge to understand predestination, because predestination is based on foreknowledge.
Right.
He's looking down through time to see you.
Amen.
Are you going to want it enough?
Right.
Are you going to want it enough to persevere through fire and furnace? And like the believers in the Middle Ages did, put them on an ice sheet in the middle of winter. But they wanted it enough to not give up. And he knows, and because he can look down through time and know you, it's an immutable thought that can never change. Now, that's how substantial this thought is, that it's not like God is having a different idea. I think that if this happens, then this will happen. It's an immutable, unchanging thought. It's an eternal thought, because God's thoughts are eternal. So that means that God always thought about you if you are going to come to life. He always thought about you. You are always an integral part of his thoughts. So God is infinite, and he exists without limits.
Yes.
This is another thing that's really hard for our little peanut brains to comprehend, but he exists outside of time, so he never had a beginning, and he never had an ending. He's never going to have an ending, so that's where we can have confidence.
Yes.
That he sees He sees all the way down through the string of time forever and ever and ever. He knows everything that will ever happen.
Yes, sir.
Everything that ever did happen and everything that ever will happen. And that's why that's how he can know you, and we can place the thought that he had of us in such a firm foundation that how can we even express it? There's no changing to that thought. In other words, if I could be bold, Bob Black was always in his mind. And you were always in his mind. He always knew you. He always knew that you were going to want it, just like Jacob. And God cannot make mistakes. He can't grow any wiser or improve over time because he's already perfect in every sense. There's no changing. There's no, well, it would be a better decision if I'd go with Esau over Jacob, or in this case, no, it's just constant. He knows Jacob. If he could change, advance, or correct himself, he would not be infinite. And God is eternal, which means that anything that had a beginning must have an end. But God never had a beginning. And so he has no end. He exists beyond the boundaries of time. Like Brother Branham said, he never did begin. He never will end. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He knows all things, all places, all times, all powerful. He is aware, and I'm going to get to it. I know probably some of y'all are thinking, omnipresent? Hold on a second. He is aware of every event, thought, and action in the universe. He's aware of everything. You could go on the moon, and he knows how many times the astronaut's going to step his foot on the moon. He knows how many times everybody's going to take a breath. Oh, to think about that he knows everything about everybody. And that is how he can predestinate.
Yeah, right.
That is how he can know. He can know how to set things in order.
Yes.
Because he knew Jacob at that level. And Brother Branham would say he's omnipresent because he's omniscient. He knows everything because he's infinite. Being infinite makes him omnipresent. So now because he's a being, that next quote, he's not like the wind. He is a being. He's a being, so he's not omnipresent in that sense, but because he knows everything,
yes,
it gives him that same quality of being there because he knows it.
That's right.
He knows everything.
Yes.
His infinite knowledge allows him to be fully aware of and present in knowledge to everything happening in his creation. So he knows about your pet that just died, or he knows about your children. He knows about every single situation. He knows about this little critter here that how many times it's going to blink its eyes and when it's going to metamorphose into its next stage and how many of those little pollen things it's going to eat or whatever it is. He knows everything. And he cannot make a mistake. When God acts, his decisions are eternal and cannot change. If God is ever called on the scene to make a decision on something, Brother Branham said, his next decision has to be the same thing. And every decision he ever makes thereafter has to be the same. And you can use that to actually discern and understand God and interact with God. Because if he gave something to somebody in a particular situation, you can put everything, you can put all your confidence. If you can approach him in the same way, you can get the same thing.
Right.
If somebody else got the Holy Ghost or somebody else got healing, you come the same way. Because if he acted one way to somebody else, he's got to act the same way to you. If you approach him with faith the same way, he's going to respond the same way. And he cannot change. Now, really what we're talking about is identification. You know, you can look and see that God is going to always manifest himself the same way. He's going to behave the same way. because he cannot change. In every age, he manifests himself with the same characteristics. His nature is the same. His thoughts are the same. And what are we talking about, really? The thoughts are expressed now in you and I. And the thoughts are like the genes of God that are expressing in us. And you, so you can recognize God moving in a congregation or in someone's life because of those characteristics and the nature expressed in that individual or in a church or in the congregation. And those same characteristics will be expressed in the bride in this last day. How do we know? Because he's always the same. He's the same in every age. He acts the same way in when he was walking on the shores of Galilee as the Son of Man. He acts the same way that he will when he's manifested as the Son of Man here in the end time. He cannot change. And what is the manifestation of the Son of Man? It's manifesting the thoughts, the genes of God, the thought that he had before the foundation of the world. It's actually expressing those thoughts. Just like he had a thought about Jacob, and that thought was expressed, and now those same thoughts are being expressed here.
Right.
His foreknowledge, knowed what you would do.
Amen.
Now think about that. Millions of eons of time ago, before you could even quantify it as some kind of an element of time, that God knew what you would do.
That's right.
And that's what foreknowledge is. Go back, as far back as you can go before there was even anything. And already, God knew what you would do.
Yes.
There's a quote where Brother Ram said, today, God knew that I would be standing behind the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
And he knew that you would be sitting out there in the pew. And he knew, just like he knew Jacob, he knew whether you would want it or not. And that's what he's basing the predestination on. He knows if you want it, then your whole, that makes everything change. Your whole life is structured in a different way because he knows in advance that you're going to want it. And so he can predestinate. He can have a preacher there right when you're going to hear it. He can have even so much as breeding this one to this one down to make sure that you come because he knows you're going to want it. His foreknowledge knowed what you would do. So foreknowledge speaks to God's omniscient ability to know the future before it ever happens. I think he knows about trolley cars. He knows about every stage of mankind. He knows about the invention of the locomotive and the astronaut. Not knows, but knew. He knew all of that would unfold. God, in his foreknowledge, allows him to understand people's characters. Now, this is where we're getting at Jacob. His foreknowledge allows him to understand people's characters, their inclinations, and their responses to divine matters even before they are born. Now, what we're getting at is, it seems like we're belaboring the point, but God knew you, and that made you a thought in God's mind. An eternal thought, something that, an inescapable thought. Because he knew you, there's no running away from it. He knew you, and he knew you would come to it. And so now you're living this life where the life of God has been manifested in you, and you are the living embodiment of that thought. The thought that God thought about is expressed in you now. It's actually expressed, and how is it expressed? Because a word is a thought expressed, right? So we can say that the thought expressed actually expresses the thought that God had before the foundation of the world. In other words, that when you hear the word, it's actually expressing out what God knew about you before the foundation of the world, that you are, in other words, eternal life. Brother Branham would say, by foreknowledge, he knowed what you would do. By foreknowledge, he knew that Esau was a shyster, and he knew that Jacob respected that birthright. So foreknowledge includes knowing who will bear the character of Christ and who won't. Hitler sure wouldn't. You go through all these examples. Esau sure didn't. Balaam sure didn't. It looked like they were going through the motions. Balaam with all of his seven altars and all of the mechanics in place,
right.
And all of those things. Cain with wanted to go to church and wanted to come find an approach to God, and he was trying to do it as far as his intellectual ability. But God knew who would want it and who would respond to the call of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he says, "For whom he did foreknow," and we'll stop on this slide and just kind of transition if the musicians want to go ahead and come forward. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And Ephesians 1 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." All this was planned out before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And in other words, there's a target in your life, a trajectory in your life that he knew that you would come to. In 2 Timothy verses 1 to 9, he said, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And 2 Thessalonians says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." How did he choose us? He chose us because he knew us. And he knew what we would do with the word when it dropped into our path. And therefore, he could have it ready for us. Now to think about that. That God knew you. Not just that he knows you, but he knew you. God bless you, saints.